Welcome, I'm Kyle, and this is Crossroads. We exist to equip you to live the adventurous life that God made you for. And I want to tell you right off the bat, we value your time. In fact, we value your time so much that we want to help you with it. Today on Crossroads, Allie is going to talk to us about our time, specifically how we spend it. You know, we spend a lot of time, no pun intended, getting distracted with calendars and clocks, and it constantly keeps space between us and God. That's normal. But we believe God doesn't want you to get back to normal. He wants you to get back to better. Hopefully today, the word she has will help you rethink how you schedule your time.
Hey, I'm Allie, and this is your time. Time is constantly running out on us. And I'm willing to guess that you wish your calendar included more time for the things that matter to you most. I did too. So I remade my entire calendar. Now this is my actual calendar, and I consider this a reflection of the time that God has given me to invest right here and right now. And the way that I did it focuses my time on what matters to me more than anything else. And that is the secret from going to whatever's been normal for your calendar, your schedule, and your time to something better. My calendar is driven by 10 words that I wrote in 10 minutes. And those 10 words actually say the direction of my entire life. And today, I want to help you write your 10 words and set up your calendar to match them. And we're going to start by asking, and actually we're going to ask this question a lot today. We're going to start by asking one question about everything that you do with your time. And that question is it distraction or is it direction? If you write your 10 words today and you use them to answer that question, then you are going to move from whatever was in the past to something better. Paul, he was a guy that wrote most of our New Testament. He was an early follower of Jesus that planted a bunch of churches, and he had 10 words, and I want you to hear his. He says, "My only aim is to finish the race and complete the task that the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying to the good news of God's grace." That was Acts chapter 20. Paul knows his words. He says that his words are testifying to the good news of God's grace. And guess what? We may not have his iPhone calendar, but we've got something pretty close. We actually have his letters, and we have a record of an entire portion of his life in the book of Acts. And sure enough, this guy was living his direction. His calendar reflected his words that he was committed to testifying to God's grace. When he would testify, of course, that's the ing, that's the movement, that's the verb in his words. And he would do that all the time. What we see of Paul's life is that he gave speeches. He went where crowds were. He talked to people all the time. And the subject was grace. Paul was all about grace. It was his main thing. Grace, grace, grace. He prayed for grace. He wrote letters about grace. He wrote a theology of grace. He corrected other believers when they were preaching anything but the grace of God. Paul's calendar and his time were focused on living, breathing, explaining, testifying about grace. That wasn't all he did, actually. What you would also see on his calendar, if we could take a look at it, is things that I would call like direction maintenance. He was living in a direction that God had given him, but he also had to have things that helped him maintain that. So you might see things on his calendar like travel, planning travel, holding down a day job to support his travel. You would see communication with people he met on his travels. Paul did all kinds of things that supported the direction of his life. And if we had his calendar, I know you would see those on there as well. If I take Paul's, like, as an example for mine, what I would tell you is my 10 words are something close to equipping others to know, love, and live the truth, starting at home. Now, I have probably written about, I don't know, 50 versions of that. But the first time I wrote it, I'll bet you I had 90% of that right in 5 minutes or less. And it didn't take me long to get in the right ballpark. Whatever I'm doing with my life, it is going to be standing on the platform of God's truth. That's what God has wired me to do. And I added the phrase starting at home because I am inextricably linked to my family. I am a wife. I am a mother. I'm never going to go away from those things. So somehow my life direction has to somehow encompass those. So if those are my 10 words, then what's on my calendar? Because your 10 words should help you determine the direction of your time. So on mine, with that direction, you would find probably, you will find things like daily time in the Bible. Maybe more than other people would do. You might find me reading things that maybe you don't want to read. I had a coworker that joked with me about liking to read Bible commentaries, and I went, how is that funny? I do like to read them. You would also find on my calendar less than you expect, because I need long periods of interrupted time where I get to research my little curiosities about what's in scripture and think about them and maybe write about them. And as I plan things like teachings and writing and things like that, I can't be interrupted every 30 minutes. As a matter of fact, I've even turned down roles here at Crossroads over the years that I've been here because of this. I can't spend my days in meetings, or I won't live my direction. The other thing that you will see on my calendar is you'll see runs and workouts. I do like to run, but actually I strategically place them on my calendar because of my direction. I've got to get out of my head. Like, enough is enough sometimes, and I just need to run. So I put them where I put them on purpose because of my direction. And my 10 words also say others, right? I want to equip other people to find God and love God through his word, then I got to be around others. So if you looked at my calendar a few months back, you would have seen for weeks in a row, teach Katie's small group. Or you would have seen lead online study of Colossians. You would see me regularly interacting and taking time, even sometimes early morning or later at night time, to lead and equip and help other people to get in there and figure out what the truth is. That's my 10 words. So I have to arrange my time around them. My latest one is a new podcast I've been doing. I actually employed my tech-savvy teenage son to help me with this project, and we're making a podcast literally out of my basement called Dig. And it's going through books of the Bible, figuring out how to look at our life somehow through the lens of that piece of scripture. What a great thing to do with my son when my direction says I want to do what I do, starting at home. Living with direction is actually just knowing why you're doing the things that you're doing with your time. Because remember, it's passing away. So you got to ask yourself, as you scroll through your calendar on your phone or write it on the refrigerator or just keep it up here, whatever you do, your direction in your life should be somehow obvious with your time. People should be able to guess it if they looked at your calendar. Direction is orienting ourselves in a particular direction. And for me, and probably for most of you, that orientation and that direction needs to be toward God. Because there is a God who designed you. There is a God who has purpose for you and for your life. Ephesians 2:10 says this, "For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago." This verse tells me that there is good work for you to do. And that good work needs to be on your calendar. And when you come to Jesus, you get equipped to kind of live out that direction in your life. And you're a masterpiece. You've been designed. You were made for something. But I hate the word purpose. I'll tell you why I hate that. I hate the word purpose right now because I feel like our culture is caught up in this like really heady, lofty conversation around purpose. And it makes me feel like I should go climb a mountain or look for the purpose pot of gold at the end of a rainbow. And I actually don't think it's that hard. I think you can write 10 words in 10 minutes and get pretty darn close. I prefer the word direction. Because you can and should be moving toward God, who is the one that knows your purpose. If you head in his direction, you're going to get clearer and clearer and clearer about your purpose. And God knows what that is. Your job is to head his way. I believe that you know a lot more about your 10 words than you might think right now. And I think it's specifically because we have just lived through like 2 years of incredible difficulty. All of our calendars got messed with. All of our time got wiped out at one point. Some of us ended up with way too much or way too little. And the things that happened to you during that time and how you felt about them, they are some massive clues to your direction. I went through something I call COVID calendar relief. Anybody else? Like, there was stuff on my calendar that COVID wiped out, and I was like, I'm so happy about that. I'm totally delighted that's gone. I hope it never comes back. Could it be, if you felt like that too, that those things are somehow in tension with the direction that your life should really be going? Do you know that I looked at a bunch of research, like a bunch of numbers about what happened to us with our time and with our work during the era of COVID and after, as we've continued to sort of open up and live our lives again. And about 30% of people would say, pay me less so I can be at home more. I'd rather take less money so I can be at home. Maybe some of you left off the phrase like I did at first, starting at home. 40% or more of people who have lived through this COVID era with us say they want a job change. Not just a job change. Researchers, have found that most of those are occupation changes, like a whole new direction. Could it be that we're sitting on insight that maybe God is going to use to do what researchers call the pandemic pivot? Whenever I say the word pivot, I can't not think about the old Friends episode where Ross is trying to move the couch. Anybody else? Okay, maybe just me. Pivot! Whatever. 33% of people who were unemployed because of the COVID era have actually started taking courses or job retraining. Friends, this is telling me that this era we've lived through is not all bad. There's something about it where we've gained some insight on the direction of our lives and maybe the way that God designed us. And I want to say a special word to the women out there. Some of us, we didn't pivot on purpose. We were forced to pivot. That's not just for women. But if you look at the numbers, research would say that COVID was especially brutal to women, most especially mothers. 4.2 million women dropped out of the workforce in like a 7-week period in 2020. And half of them have not come back. If that's you today, I want to say to you, none of that surprised God. He is ahead of you. He knows exactly what your life needs to be like. And I want you to have the courage to ask him, how does this mean I need to refine my direction? My guess is that we have clues, maybe for a long time in our life, about our general direction. And it's time to think about writing that down. The reason that I want you to write it down on a piece of paper is not because I want you to get it perfect. It's not because the exact words matter so much. It's just that when you write down 10 words, you can start to evaluate your time. You can get those gut instincts out and actually use them to point your life in a better direction, to go from whatever was normal in the past to something better in the future. And I don't want you to spend 10 years or even 10 weeks writing them down. I have two tips for you as you do this. Start your 10 words with an ing verb. You want to start actively doing something, and whatever the rest of your phrase is, I want you to answer, where is God? How am I heading his way? I want to give you a few examples from people in my own life, okay? People I know, here's what they said. Just ideas for you as you consider your own. Blending two families into one who follows God together. Caring for the poor in Nicaragua to display Christ's love. Staying sober and faithful to my job for 1 year. Strengthening other believers through prayer, encouragement, and prophecy. Saving for a house to love others with my hospitality. These are phrases, 10 words-ish. Some are 8, some are 11, but you get the idea. You could actually use those to evaluate what you're doing with your time. If you're saving for something, I expect you to be at work, earning money, right? If you're gonna lead others somehow, I expect to see groups and people on your calendar on a regular basis. Your direction should inform your time. It's the step before all the time management tactics. I love this stuff, right? Like, I'm a bullet point kind of gal. I love it. I love a good chart, good management tactic, a good calendar. The only problem is you can't plan, prioritize, prep, win the day, sharpen the saw, whatever else they tell you to do, if you don't have a direction. Because what are you doing all of those things toward? Remember, you're a masterpiece. You were designed for good works. And we need to start moving in the direction of the God who knows exactly what our calendar should look like.
More from Allie in just a minute. But first, you need to know that this episode and everything at Crossroads is only possible because of the generosity of everyday people just like you and like me. If you want to join that community of generous people, you can go to crossroads.net/give. Hey, this week, we'd also love to connect with you live, and we have two ways for you to do that. The first is our world-changing seminar. Change the world is one of those phrases that we say a lot around here. You might be like, what does that mean, and who changes the world, and how do I change the world, and how would it even get started? If you have any questions, we would love to see you at the world-changing seminar. Two, we have a Zoom welcome session that I'd love to see you at. I'll be there. It's a chance for you to ask questions and us just to get to know you a little bit and vice versa. Now, you can find details for both of those things at crossroads.net/live. You know, we recently had our 25th anniversary. And as a way of celebration, we decided to invest $2.5 million in people and projects that are changing the world. Because the truth is, Crossroads doesn't change the world. We change the world. You change the world. We've actually invested some of that money with one of our online communities who's working to reach students. Check this out.
My involvement with Young Life started when I was in high school and someone showed up at the YMCA to play pickup basketball with me and just kept showing up over and over. And finally invited me to this thing called Young Life, and I went and I heard about God in a way that I'd never heard about him before at that week at camp, and it completely transformed my life.
He talked about this thing called Young Life. I said, I had no idea what that is. He said, come check it out in Batesville. I'm like, I don't even know where that is. And so it was through some game nights that they all had that I really started to come out and see what they were doing with the local teenagers and just how they were investing in them. And the adults that cared, and it was really cool to see this community of people that was actually doing something to improve the kids' lives. He actually convinced me to move to Batesville, and I think there was this huge pro and con list. There was a really long list of why I would not move to Batesville, and then there was this really short list of why I would. And in looking at that list and just having conversations and seeing just the way they love kids and the things that they did, I noticed that my list of why I would not move was all selfish. It was 100% things that would make my life more comfortable. And then the reasons that were really life-giving but would cost something.
And I've watched leaders like Scott, kid after kid after kid, who's dealing with some really difficult stuff, you know, over and over again, the first place they go to is his house. They show up and they're trying to put their life back together. And they have questions about God, they have questions about everything. And time again, they show up on a leader's doorstep and says, I don't know what to do. And how can God be good?
These kids are hurting. They're experiencing a lot of stuff. Man, life is not easy, especially in the culture right now. There's a lot of confusion. There's a lot of isolation. But to just show up and care and say, hey, you matter. And I'm here for you. And regardless of what you're doing and regardless of what you believe, I'm showing up and I care about you. That's what I hope other adults can come alongside and just jump in the vision. If we can do that, and we can do that well, then we're loving our kids.
I think too many of us live instead of in direction. We live inside of what's probably pretty normal. Normal to me is a life of distraction. And I don't really mean by this like pinging phones or watching the news less, even though that might be great. What I really mean by distraction is either without direction or more likely, we have like a combo. We spend our calendar heading down one direction and then another direction and then a different direction. And we're all over the place, moving our time toward all kinds of different ends. A distraction is really anything that takes you outside of God's design for you and for your life. In the book of Acts, after Jesus was resurrected, the earliest apostles were given a direction. And the Bible says their direction was day after day. It says they never stopped sharing the good news that Jesus is the Messiah. Nine words. Sharing the good news that Jesus is the Messiah. That was their direction. And boy, the apostles were totally killing it. They were living with direction, and it was going really well. The church was growing. In the first few chapters of Acts, you hear about thousands of people joining the church, baptisms, miraculous healings. Even the authorities were trying to shut these guys up from their direction because all they were doing was sharing the good news that Jesus is the Messiah. They were doing their nine words. And then we get to Acts 6, and in comes a potential distraction. Even when you have a powerful direction, even when you've been killing it, even when you're fruitful in it, you are always in danger of getting distracted. And in Acts 6, we see this take place. Here's what it says. In those days, when the number of disciples was increasing, the Hellenistic Jews among them complained against the Hebraic Jews because their widows were being overlooked in the daily distribution of food. So the 12 gathered all the disciples together and said, "It would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the word of God in order to wait on tables. Brothers and sisters, choose seven men from among you who are known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom. We will turn this responsibility over to them and will give our attention to prayer and the ministry of the word." So we have an issue here, right? In comes a potential distraction. There's an issue, like there is in most communities. Issues happen. Something new comes into the orbit of these apostles who have a direction. And did you hear it? Did you hear it in there? They kind of restated it. Praying and ministering the word of God. And wait, what was the word of God? Oh, that's right. Sharing the good news that Jesus is the Messiah. These guys had a direction and they knew it. So they recognized this issue for exactly what it was. It was a distraction. We have got to learn to see these in our lives, you guys. We have got to learn to see when another direction comes across our path and could take us off of what God has uniquely for us. It was going to take time away from what they were supposed to be doing. But at first, we kind of read the story. If you're like me, you kind of read this phrase, waiting on tables, and it seems like they're sort of saying, like, get the interns to do this. You know, like, this is beneath us. I can't take time away from the word of God to wait on tables. That's actually not at all the tone of what their words were saying. Actually, what they meant was, I recognize the importance of this. Food distribution was core to the church. I know that sounds kind of crazy, doesn't it? But if you read through the early chapters of Acts, what you see the church do over and over is teach together and eat together. Teach and eat. And you see those two things over and over. Like it says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the breaking of bread. They taught and they ate. So now there's an issue. And there's an issue not just with any old thing, not just with something the intern can handle, with a core alternate direction. How they were going to distribute food was actually critical to the very witness of what they were saying. Because guys, in the body of Christ, we don't preference people on nationality, on race, on family, on background, on culture. We are one. That's the whole essence of the church. So what's going on here is there's a group of widows, one that has a really good pedigree, the Hebraic widows. And they're being favored over those who came out of the Greek culture, the Hellenistic widows. And the apostles recognized this for what it was. This is not just a quick problem for us to solve. This is going to take our attention off of our direction, and someone else actually needs to step in and take this on as theirs. So if I was going to restate this whole food issue in 10 words or less as someone else's direction, I might say, distributing food in a way that reflects the heart of God. All right, I got it in 11. You'll forgive me. Distributing food was not just a quick problem for the apostles to solve. It was somebody else's direction. It just wasn't theirs. So we actually know what happened. They stuck to their direction. They chose others to lead this other one. And Acts 6:7 is the conclusion to the whole matter. And listen to what it says. So the word of God spread. The number of disciples in Jerusalem increased rapidly, and a large number of priests became obedient to the faith. Guys, when we live in a direction that's oriented to God, and we let other people live in their direction, then the kingdom of God grows. The impact of your days, your minutes, your hours, it's spent in the direction of an eternal God. And we face these choices in our calendars every single day, right? Like, how do you know? How do you recognize it? We have to get better at seeing what's coming into our calendar and how to manage that so that it doesn't take us off course. And sometimes, believe me, I know this, distractions come in hard to see packages. As a matter of fact, one of mine came in a super cute package. A couple of years ago, I volunteered in my daughter's kindergarten classroom. And those kids are adorable, but every time I would go, I would enjoy my time in the room, but coming and going, I would have this sort of, I don't know, this drag inside. Like I was forcing it in, or it didn't feel quite right. It wasn't jiving with other things that I felt like I was supposed to be doing. But I couldn't, I mean, I really thought it was the right thing for me to do at the time. And eventually I started asking God, okay, so why do I feel this way? How come I feel like I'm just shoving this in and something's not right here? Just sort of a gut instinct sort of thing. And I eventually came to the conclusion that I was doing this because it's what good moms do. I have a checklist in my head. I don't mean to, but I do. I have a checklist. If I was a good mom, I would do these 5 things. Maybe you have a checklist and maybe it's taking up a lot of your time. You have a checklist about what a good finance manager does, or what a good athlete does, or what a good parent does that is taking up valuable time where you could be orienting your life in the real direction that God has for you. Guys, 2 people can do exactly the same thing for 2 radically different reasons. Believe me when I say I am so very thankful for the parents whose direction includes getting into the classrooms during the day with my kids. I love it. In some ways, I wish it was consistent with my direction sometimes, but maybe theirs is something like supporting education for the least of these, or role modeling the servanthood of Christ, whatever it is. I love that some parents directions takes them into the schools, but I had to stop and say, what am I doing here? And it's really hard to admit to yourself when some of your time that looks like it's being spent in a good way is just not being spent in your unique direction. It was hard for me to say, I'm not going to come help your sweet class anymore. It was hard for me to admit that I want to prop myself up as a mom. I want to feel good about myself in that role. And so I want to check off all the things that make me feel like a better mom. But guys, you could live your whole life doing that and still be off of the direction that God has for you. Sometimes our pride is involved, or our fears involved, or our self-image. And God, there's like a whole other message in here about that kind of stuff. But if we can get honest enough and brave enough to admit some of those things are not our direction. And I guarantee you, if you are brave enough to do that and pull back some of that time, you're going to be criticized for it. Your reward is going to be criticized for it. Jesus got criticized for his direction. And he answered his critics every single time with his 10 words. Listen to this in Matthew chapter 9. While Jesus was having dinner at Matthew's house, many tax collectors and sinners came and ate with him and his disciples. When the Pharisees saw this, they asked his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" On hearing this, Jesus said, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. Go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. For I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners." Did you hear his 10 words buried in there? Giving mercy to the sick and the sinner. All right, it was 7 or maybe 8. 10-ish. Jesus came for sinners, for the sick. That's where he spent his time. Those people were on his calendar because he knew his direction. He knew who he was supposed to be with, where he was supposed to be, and why. Jesus knew the cross was coming. He knew that his time was going to run out, just like this did. And we've got to see the same is true for us. We got to see the distractions in our life and how they are impacting our ability to live with eternity in mind. It's time to move in the direction that God has for you because you only have so much time. If anything reminds me of the truth of that, it's got to be first day of school pictures. It's got to be first day. I'm only a few weeks off of that. And every year, every self-respecting parent takes pictures of their kids on the first day of school. And I've got to tell you, nothing says time is passing away like those pictures. I'm the one who looks at them and goes, "But that's not what they looked like 2 years ago. I took the picture in the same spot." I actually stood on the treadmill with a friend the other day and cried with her about her taking her son who's starting college this week and dropping him off. Guys, time is passing away whether we want it to or not. The hourglass is going to be empty. And I wonder what would happen if we knew when that was going to go down. I read the blog and part of the book of a nurse who works only with patients who have less than 12 weeks to live. She's actually written a book about the top 5 regrets of people who are dying. It's like part of her life's work, and she's gained a lot of wisdom from people whose time is running out. And she said their number one regret, this is the number one regret that she would name. She says that it is, "I wish I had the courage to live a life true to myself and not what others expected of me." Wow, the number one regret when people are facing the clock running out is, "I wish I'd had the courage to live in my direction. Not your direction, not what my parents wanted for me, not what I thought my life was going to be about or should be about, but my direction." I'll tell you what, if you want to follow God, if you are interested in being equipped for that direction, then you need Jesus in your life because that is where your real direction is. It's the one toward the God who made you and who planned for you and who has good things that should be on your calendar this week. But this takes courage, you all. It takes courage. That's what that regret says. I wish I'd had the courage. That regret did not say, "I wish I'd known." That did not say, "I wish I'd had the knowledge." You know your 10 words, or pretty darn close anyway, and I don't want you to overthink it. I don't think this is about not knowing. I think it's about courage. The courage to write them down. The courage to force your time in that direction. The courage to get rid of the distractions in your life that are constantly trying to take you off the direction that God intended you for. Whatever that direction is, what that book tells me is that you're still going to be thinking about it the last 12 weeks of your life. And that actually makes some sense to me because you'll be awfully close to coming face to face with God at that point, the God who created you, the God who had a purpose for you, the God whose design is supposed to be taking place in the minutes and days and hours of your life, the God who holds time right in his hands. He existed before it. He knows where it's headed. And when we live directed at that God, the God of all time, then the hours that we put on our calendar, they mean even more than just what's in front of us right now. They mean eternal things, that the impact of our life is multiplied when we point it at the God of time. Living with this realization that our time requires this kind of careful thought, it's actually what the Bible calls numbering your days. That's the phrase that's used in Scripture for living with the wisdom of knowing this hourglass will be empty and there's also an eternity. I want to read you a couple excerpts from Psalm 90 where that phrase appears. Psalm 90 was written by Moses. He was a man who did have the courage to live clearly in the direction of God. And he struggled. He struggled exactly like you and I do, with the same feelings that you and I have all the time. Am I good enough to do this? Am I good enough to pursue what I think you really made me for? Moses felt that way. Has some of my life been wasted time? Moses questioned deeply the decades that he spent wandering in the wilderness. What if some of that is wasted, God? What does that mean? And he even faced the end of his life not ever getting quite where he thought his life was heading. But he did get one thing in the end that was huge. He got that we need to live our days here on earth, both here and now, and in light of all eternity. He got that our time is limited here, so we have to limit the way that we spend it. Your time is going fast, and I really want you to point it in the right direction. So let me read you those words from Psalm 90. Before the mountains were born, or you brought forth the whole world from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. 1,000 years in your sight are like a day that has just gone by. Teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. That is for sure my prayer for myself. I want a heart of wisdom. Wisdom that goes all the way down into my calendar. I want to leave you with a final question today. If you knew when this was going to run dry, not a big lofty philosophy question, I'm only going to ask you one. How would your calendar look different? What I want you to do today is I want you to write your 10 words and figure it out. If you really don't know, if you have no idea where to start, and I know that that might be some of you, if you really don't know where to start, we do a thing at Crossroads called a journey. And it's coming up pretty soon. And if you don't know where to begin with your 10 words, then I want you to listen to Kyle tell you a little bit more about the journey, because I think that would be a great place to start.
You were created for greatness. There's a hero hiding somewhere inside of you. At some point in your life, you truly believed that. That's because it's true. God made you to be great, and he has a plan for you to be a hero on a team of heroes. Come, find the path to your greatness.
The journey is going to be great, and there's two things you need to do it. The first is this book. It's full of prompts and experiences designed to help you go on the journey. And the best part is, it's free. If you go to one of our locations, you can pick it up there. Or if you're part of our online church, you can go to crossroads.net/onlinejourney, and we will mail one of these to your house for free. Now, the second thing you need to do the journey is a group. Groups are the perfect opportunity for you to meet new people or invite your family and friends and do this with you in person or even online. Now, if that sounds exciting, we need your help to host a group and make sure there are enough groups for everyone. If you're interested in hosting, go to crossroads.net/connect. Now, I know hosting might sound intimidating, but I promise it's super easy and you're definitely equipped for the job. We also this week made a special worship set just for you, and you can watch it by clicking right here. Last, I want you to know about our Crossroads app. It's full of experiences and content designed to connect you to God throughout your entire week. You can get it for free wherever you get your apps.
This is the Crossroads Anywhere app. It's not just any other app. It's the weekend experience wherever you go. It's relevant articles to you, so you can be the smart guy at the party for once. It's asking for prayer, because life can get a little tough sometimes. It's spiritual growth without a bunch of hoops to jump through. The Crossroads Anywhere app. It's you connecting with people and with God. Download it now.